Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Those came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I waited patiently upon the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible, it exalts the Savior's name. What a wonderful opportunity to be together. Brethren, we have met to worship. Amen. And to adore the Lord our King. Well, since we were here last, it's been my privilege to preach in about 4 or 5 churches, 8 or 10 messages. Even my wife preached. She often preaches without taking a text. But she took a text this time at the Sword of the Lord, the women's seminar. She taught them. Also taught the ladies in my brother's church in Danville in the Sunday school hour. Then it was my privilege for the 30th consecutive year to preach at the Sword of the Lord Conference in Walkertown, North Carolina. What a joy to serve God. I thank God for the opportunities and the privileges, and I never take for granted the privilege of being back in this pulpit where I feel so much at home. And now if you'll open your... Oh, by the way, when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the Song of Solomon. And by the way, that's right after Ecclesiastes and right before Isaiah. Just in case you haven't looked at the song lately. Chapter 6 and verse number 3. While you're finding your place, I should remind you again that as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and I'm convinced it's settled on earth as well. With your Bible open now to the Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, I shall read only one verse, the first part of that verse, and that will be verse number 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. Dr. Norris taught us young preachers, always announce your text. Give them the book, give them the chapter, give them the verse. By the way, I just received this morning from Mrs. Allen a copy of a letter that Dr. Norris, in 1917, wrote to her daddy when he was going away to war, encouraging him. We ought to encourage our folks that are out in war defending us today. And of course, Mrs. Allen and I told her this. That reminded me a few years ago, some of our family members did some research on correspondence of Dr. J. Frank Norris. And they found in the archives in Nashville, Tennessee, a folder about that thick with letters from my dad to Dr. Norris and Dr. Norris and my dad. Some of them were handwritten. One of them said from Dr. Norris, "Dear Bob, your son Raymond is a fine young man, but if he doesn't get out of that classroom and go to work, he's not going to amount to anything. I would let you be the judge." I'm going to read after we pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd give us permission to read your word. Give us permission to preach your word. It is so holy. May we rightly divide the word of truth. May it register in our minds and anchor in our souls the wonderful truths of belonging to Jesus and having him belong to us. And if there be one who does not have that testimony, may they come and trust him in this hour is our prayer in Jesus' name, for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 6, at verse number 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Ladies and gentlemen, I have read from one simple and yet compound sentence what many consider the greatest, grandest, most glorious love story in all the annals of human history. It is the story of a handsome king by the name of Solomon who takes his bride into his breast and loves her and cherishes her. I see in that more than just a handsome king who lived around 1000 B.C., I see in that our own bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has taken his bride. And ladies and gentlemen, what a marvelous and blessed and wonderful and precious place is ours, positioned as members of the bride of Christ. 57 years ago, in a few months, I took a bride. I still have the bride. Not many are coming out of Hollywood like that these days. But we walked down the aisle at the First Baptist Church in downtown Fort Worth, united in marriage on May the 20th, 1951, by the late and great Dr. J. Frank Norris, who furnished us a car and our expenses for our honeymoon. Didn't last a long time, but I'm looking toward another honeymoon when the bride of Christ will be gathered together John says in the Revelation 19 at verse number 7, "For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his bride hath made herself ready." Think about it. We will be gathered around the table at the marriage supper of the Lamb with our Lord Jesus, the King, and our bridegroom at the head of the table, and all of us filling our places. Pass the peanut butter, please. Somebody said, "Well, there'll be peanut butter in heaven." Well, the Bible says there'll be all good kinds of things in heaven. Now, meanwhile, back on planet Earth, Fort Worth, Worth Baptist Church, Sunday morning, August 3, 2008. I would remind you there are two things that are basic for the fulfillment of human needs. Number one, are you ready for this? To belong to someone. And number two, for someone to belong to you. Someone has observed that having a place to go is home. Having someone to love is family. Having both is a blessing. It makes a boy feel good to belong to the Boy Scout or the Little League or the Pony League. It makes an adolescent feel good to belong to his young lover and his young lover to belong to him. It makes a man feel good to belong to his family and to know that his family belongs to him. You should feel good this morning belonging to Worth Baptist Church that for 54 years has stood firmly, unflinchingly, uncompromisingly upon the Word of God. The best feeling you could have this morning, my friend, is to know that you belong to Jesus Christ and that Jesus belongs to you. The hymn writer put it this way: "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity." Now, I stress that word eternity because you see, your relationship to the bridegroom Jesus Christ is not just a passing affair. It is not designed to last a week or a month or a year or a decade or a century or a millennium. It's designed to last forever. The only kind of life that God gives is eternal life. I give you the word of his Son on it. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. And as I've said before, when you quote Jesus, you never have to worry about being misquoted. I quote him from John chapter 10 at verse 27, where he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Now, I'm convinced that the Apostle Paul climbed the summit of all New Testament revelation in Romans chapter 8, where he said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things it is written, we are more than conquerors." Time out. More than conquerors? That's what he said. More than Nebuchadnezzar? Yes, more than Nebuchadnezzar. More than Tiglath-Pileser? Yes, more than Tiglath-Pileser. More than Shalmaneser? Yes, more than Shalmaneser. More than Sennacherib? Yes, more than Sennacherib. More than Sargon? Yes, more than Sargon. More than Alexander the Great? Yes, more than Alexander the Great. More than the Caesars of Rome, Julius and Augustus and Vespasian and Nero and Trajan and Hadrian and all the rest, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Now that's my introduction. I'm ready to start preaching. And I promise you, I will not encroach upon eternity in this message. I've entitled it, "My Jesus and I." Let's consider the first place, I am my beloved's. That's another way of saying I belong to Jesus. Now, how can I say I belong to Jesus? By some pedigree of mine, or through some royal birth, or through some outstanding accomplishment? Absolutely not. I can say, ladies and gentlemen, that I am my beloved's. I belong to him because he died to rescue me from hell. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I can say I belong to him because I was born into the family of God. Born again, a new birth. John put it this way in chapter 1 at verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I have been born of God into his family. And I'm saying to you this morning, to have that privilege, to have that position, is worth more than all the riches of the world, all the gold and silver and platinum and all the others that come together in the family of God. I can say I belong to him because he purchased me with his own blood. Paul wrote to the said to the Ephesian elders, and it's written in Acts chapter number 20 at verse number 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a blood bought, blood washed, blood ransomed, blood redeemed child of the King. I can say that I belong to him because I've been adopted into the family of God. Someone asked Roy Rogers, Mr. Rogers, how do you treat the children that you adopted into your family? And he replied, just like those that were born into my family. I'm glad I've been born into his family, and that makes me a son by birth. But then I've been legally adopted, and that makes me a legal son, which makes me an heir to everything that God has. An heir of Christ, a joint heir with Christ, an heir of God. Don't go around poor mouthing, folks. You have an inheritance that's laid up for you, incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto the last day, ready to be revealed. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 4 at verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, by the way, God always acts on time. He is never a day early. He is never a day late. He's always on time. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might be made the sons of God, that we might be receive the adoption of sons. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a stepson of God. God doesn't have any stepsons. He doesn't have any grandchildren. We are all children of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been adopted. My name's written down. I'm an heir to a mansion, a harp, and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King. I belong to him because he made me a king and a priest. You didn't know you were looking at a king, did you? Go home, look in the mirror, you'll see another one. Not as good looking, but you'll see another one. Listen to what John said in the Revelation 1 at verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He loved me, he washed me, He crowned me a king. So I can say without any hesitation or reservation or equivocation or fear of any contradiction, I can proudly, boldly, openly say to you, I am His. I am His garden, and He cultivates my life to make me fruitful. He said so in John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, watch it, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I am His jewel. He polishes me to make me shine in His own image. How often do we all quote Romans 8:28? And we should. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. But it is a mistake to stop at the period at the end of verse 28. Go to verse 29, because there's the purpose. According to His purpose, and here it is. For whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Can I tell you boldly this morning that God will not allow anything to come into your life? Sickness, heartache, tragedy, cancer, heart problems, strokes, disappointments, discouragements, disillusionments, everything. God, listen, God will not allow anything to come into your life but what is designed to make you more like Jesus Christ. Not only am I His garden and His jewel, but I'm His house. And He dwells within in the person of the Holy Spirit. So says Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He's inside me in the person of His Spirit. I'm His garden, I'm His jewel, I'm His house, and I'm a part of His bride. And as a part of His bride, He lavishes all His love upon me. He said so, and I believe everything He said. John 15:9, He said, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Which being interpreted is, to the same degree that the Father loves the Son loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Or the Bible tells me so. When Clarence Decker, the 30-year sheriff of Dallas, Texas, who was one of the hardest, hard-nosed men ever to be in Dallas County, when he died, he requested that they sing at his funeral, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me, yes, even me. I am His garden, I am His jewel, I am His house, I am His bride, I am His servant. And I have committed myself to serving Him and Him alone all the days of my life. Oh, by the way, you know what Jesus said about masters and servants? It's recorded in Matthew 6:24, and Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will cleave to the one and despise the other. No man can serve God. He cannot serve God and mammon. Lord, I've started to walk in the light, shining upon me, so glorious and bright. I've bade the world with its folly adieu. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Yes, I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Whatever others do, I'll take the way of the Lord's despised few, because I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Because I am His, He loves me with an everlasting love. Because I am His, He nourishes me with manna from heaven. Because I am His, He keeps me with supernatural power. He watches over me. Could I give you a classic example? 2 weeks ago, when my wife and I started driving from Fort Worth to Danville, Virginia. I believe it was over in the state of Mississippi. We were on Interstate 20. I was in the right lane. I'm so far right, I don't even try to make a left turn. I was in the right lane. I pulled out from behind a car to pass, to get in the left lane and pass. And right in front of me was a car coming in the wrong direction on Interstate 20. I don't know how it happened, but all of a sudden, I found myself back over in the other lane, seconds away from a head-on collision. And I thought of that verse of Scripture, "The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him and delivereth them. Because I am his, he comforts me with his Holy Spirit. Because I am his, he strengthens me with divine might. Because I am his, he fills me with sweet peace. Because I am his, he hears me when I pray. I belong to him. In poverty or wealth, in sickness or health, in life or in death, for time and for eternity, I am his." Now, in the second place, my beloved is mine. That's another way of saying Jesus belongs to me. He belongs to me because he was given to me by God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the Bible in miniature. Just 25 words. God loved, and God, listen, God gave Christ to you and to me. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15 says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." He belongs to me because I received him as my Savior, which entitles me to sonship. I gave it to you from John chapter 1. Came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He belongs to me because I am a partaker of his divine nature. So says Peter in 2 Peter 1:4. Those of us who are saved, Peter says, have been made partakers of the divine nature. Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, I am proud to declare to all persons present, he is mine. Because he is mine, I shall never hunger. He's the bread of life. Because he's mine, I shall never thirst. He's the water of life. Because he is mine, I shall never perish. He's the Savior of life. Because he is mine, I shall never get lost. Because he is the way of life. Because he is mine, I shall never be in darkness. Because he is the light of life. Because he is mine, I shall never despair. Because he is the hope of life. I can't wait for this one. Because he is mine, I shall never die. Because he is life. I'm reminded of that wonderful story in the New Testament about Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary. Could I abbreviate it somewhat? Lazarus got sick. That's a common denominator in life. But remember, in sickness or health, he's still mine. I'm still his. Lazarus got sick and they sent for Jesus. And you know what? Jesus delayed his coming 4 full days. Well, when he arrived, Martha said to him, "Now, Lord, it's no need for you to go to the grave. He's been there 4 days. He by now stinketh." She also said to him, "Lord, if..." Oh, by the way, time out. Don't ever say "if" to Jesus. He's erased, eradicated, and eliminated all the ifs in your life. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died." Well, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha said, yes, I know he will rise again in the end time at the resurrection. And guess what Jesus said? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Aren't you glad his way is God's way and not yours or mine? And isn't it great when he's 4 days late, he's still on time. Standing at the grave, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. We are loosed from death because Jesus is the resurrection and the life, and he's imparted it to us. Nature forms us. Sin deforms us. Education informs us. The law reforms us. But only Jesus transforms us. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, and it's not Mary and it's not the Pope. There is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God without blemish and without spot, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm his. He's mine. Is he yours? Let's stand, please, for our prayer.